Please turn with me tonight to 1 Peter chapter 5, the first letter of Peter chapter 5. And God willing, we have two verses to consider. Peter says so much in few words. 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'm reading verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And my title is maybe unusual title, but it is Stopping the Mouth of the Lion. And I chose this title having in mind David, King David, while he was still a shepherd. He said he was able to stop the mouth of the lion in 1 Samuel chapter 17. I had in mind also Samson. Yes, these were physical lions. Then when you come to the New Testament, you also find Paul facing the lion. The lion was King Nero. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we are told that those heroes of faith have stopped the mouth of lions. So stopping the mouth of the lion. And we are speaking spiritually. My dear friends, the Christian, a believer, is a sheep. This is the description we have from John chapter 10. Every believer is a sheep. So as a sheep, you are facing the lion. The lion. And as the text says, you are facing a roaring lion, dangerous lion. This is frightening. It is frightening. Just imagine for a short time a sheep facing a hungry lion, a roaring lion. But we are not speaking, I hope everyone will appreciate that, we are not speaking about a lion in a cage or a lion in the wild or a lion in a zoo. We are not speaking about such things. We are speaking about our arch enemy, enemy number one, our pet hate. He hates us, and he stands against us. Oh, my dear friends, we are speaking about Satan. Satan is his Hebrew name, Shaitan. It's the same in Arabic, actually. And the devil is his Greek name, Diabolos. We have it also in English, diabolical, diabolic, and so on. So we are speaking about Satan, our enemy. He's a real person. It's not a concept. It's not a caricature. But as I said, this is our enemy number one. He's a reality. I know some people are obsessed, so obsessed by Satan. They are barking at him. They are shouting at him. They are binding him day and night, but with no avail, sadly. It's just a waste of time. But remember, Satan is not behind every bush, every corner, or every rock, or every smoke. No, he's powerful, but he's just a created being. Remember that. He's a fallen angel. We don't have time to trace the origin of Satan, but remember, he's just a fallen angel. Yes, he may be the marshal or the general of all angels, but his pride, his covetousness, his arrogance, Isaiah chapter 14 and in the prophet Ezekiel, we find the sources, what brought him to fall and to be our archenemy from that time. Where we find him the first time, going back to Genesis chapter 3, this is straight from the beginning of the creation of this world. Satan is mentioned as the serpent, Genesis chapter 3. And he's mentioned there throughout the scriptures. You read later 66 books from Genesis to Revelation. He's always there trying to bring down the kingdom of God, trying to fight believers, to devour them until, as I said, the book of Revelation where we see his final doom. And we are told there, I hope you can think about it. We are told there that he is cast away and thrown in the lake of fire with all his angels. That lake of fire has been prepared specially for him. So we speak about our archenemy tonight. But remember, Satan is bound in this gospel age. He is limited. His leash is this or that far. That's all. So that's why, though we speak a little bit about him, but really it's not to frighten us. He's a reality. He's a monster being. He exists. He's our enemy. But remember, he is limited. And as Luther, you know what Luther said? He said, Satan is God's devil. He only can do what God allowed him to do. He cannot do to a child of God what he is not allowed to do by the living God, the only God who created him, who made him. So, my dear friends, we come to this text of 1 Peter chapter 5, and I want to add just a few words of introduction. This is helpful to us. Remember, the Bible says that a Christian is a soldier. You are a soldier. You want it or not. From the day of your conversion, you are a wrestler. You are in a battle. But remember, to battle, humility or meekness is not inactivity. Some people think so. But the Christian, though being the meekest man, I hope every Christian is a meek person, though being the humblest person in the world, I hope every Christian is a humble person. But if I may say, every Christian is the most aggressive person. Why? We are in a battle. And I don't have time to read the verses, but in Psalm 144, verse 1 and 2, God has put us in a battle. And he's the one who is going to empower us in order to be his soldiers, in order to fight that good fight. We are not left to ourselves. So humility, no matter how a Christian is humble or meek, it doesn't mean he should be inactive, just watching the world passing by. We get involved in that battle. We get involved because we have been saved to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friends, as I said, I hope nobody misunderstood me when I said the Christian is the most aggressive person, but we use pacific means. We are peacemakers. Matthew 5, verse 8, we are peacemakers. The children of God are peacemakers, never using any aggressivity or contention in order to preach the gospel of redeeming grace. And Peter, who is speaking to us about the roaring lion, you know what happened to him? I'm sure Peter heard that lion roaring so many times. So many times Peter heard it. And he himself, he knew what it means to be sifted. You remember when he denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times? And Christ came to his rescue. He came to secure him because Satan asked to sift Peter. But Christ said, I have prayed for you. Christ said to him. And when he came back, Christ gave him that commission to look after his flock, to feed his lamb. And this is what he's telling us also in this chapter, to feed the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure Peter also knew. And we know, my dear brothers and sisters, we know from church history that Christians were given as a meal to lions by King Nero, Emperor Nero, in great persecution. People will buy tickets to go into stadiums in order to applaud and clap hands while the lions are devouring Christians because of their faith. And from what I read in church history, Christians, they were not cowards. They stood there because of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I have 4 things, looking at these 2 verses, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. If I may spell them for you, so you know where I'm heading to tonight. The first thing, I want to speak to you about the person of our arch enemy, the person of Satan. The second, I want to speak about his working method, his modus operandi, how he functions. And the third, I want to speak to you about his aim. What is Satan's aim? He has actually only one aim. And finally, our fourth step is to look at how can we stop his mouth? How can we fight such a big and great and powerful enemy? As weak as we are, as sheep as we are, as so impotent as we are. Oh, the first thing is here before us in verse 8. Look at it. The first thing about his person, Peter gives us three things there. The first one, he says that Satan is your adversary. He is your adversary. And that word means anti everything that is godly. Antidikos, that's the Greek word. He is anti everything that is of God, that is of Christ, that is of the Bible, that is of the church. Everything godly, everything righteous, everything holy, Satan is against it. That's the meaning, your adversary. Oh, certainly, because he is our adversary, he is not our friend. Oh, there is no amity but enmity with Satan. He is our enemy. But look at the verse 8 there. It says, your adversary. Your. He's speaking to believers. He is not the adversary of the world. But your. It is very specific. Oh, my dear friends, if you have one enemy in your life, this is the enemy. Your adversary. And actually, the word adversary, again there, the Greek word, is a legal term. A legal term, and the word is used in courts, in a trial, at the court, at the tribunal. This is where that word is used, that term. And it means that our adversary is our legal contestant and legal opponent, legal enemy before the living God. So this is not our friend. Oh, my dear friends, Satan, your adversary. That's the first thing Peter tells us. He roars, he shouts and barks evil and charges lies against the church of Jesus Christ, against the Bible. This is what we see. You hear people today, smart people said that the Bible is an old book. And this is the kind of lies Satan is throwing up day after day. In John chapter 8, he's called the father of lies. He's a murderer, we are told in the word of God from the beginning. So he's an accuser. You remember we read in our Bible reading, Revelation chapter 12, he is called there the accuser of the brethren. My dear friends, what do you want Satan to tell you? Can he come to you and say to you, look, you are a child of God? Of course, all his life, all his refrain, all his song is to make you to be downcast, to be discouraged, and to deny what God has done at the cross of Calvary to redeem your soul. He will never tell you something good or nice to hear. That's why we will see later what are we to do in order to combat, to fight against this evil, evil spirit, this evil fallen angel. So he barks those false accusations and accusing the brethren. But he's not only accusing us, he's not only telling lies, but he's also obstructing the work of Christ. You can see even in the book of Acts, when you read the book of Acts, in some places he was able to obstruct, to stop the work of God being carried. Oh, my dear friends, his work has been diminished, his power has been diminished by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Otherwise, if Satan was not bound in this gospel age, my dear friend, this world will be unbearable. Unbearable. Revelation chapter 20 says he is in chains so that he will not deceive the nations. That's the first thing. Your adversary, your enemy, your opponent, your contestant. And the second thing, look at it again in verse 8. Peter says, the devil, he is the devil. The English language makes it nice. In the word, in that term, devil, you have the word evil. That says it all. He's the devil who only gives us evil. Nothing good can come from him. There is only one devil, But he has battalions and legions of fallen angels. We call them the demons. But there is only one Satan. There is only one devil. And he ensnares Christians. He can influence a Christian. He can make evil things. He can make sin to smell and to taste sweeter. That is his job. That is his employment day after day. Oh, my dear friends, you know what Calvin said? That Satan is even able to act as a doctor, but a false doctor. He will not give you the right remedy. This is the only doctor who doesn't want to see his patient being healed or recovering or being having an improvement in their health. He wants them, the sin to gangrene them, to go even further in their lives. But as you know, we read it last Sunday, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Satan, the devil, is able to disguise himself as an angel of light. Why? To deceive you, to delude you, to lead you into illusion and disillusion. This is his task day after day. So the first thing, your adversary, that's his person. The second thing, he's the devil. Only evil comes from him. And the third thing, Peter will tell us, he's a lion. He didn't say he's a wolf coming to us in sheep clothing. That's the false teachers. That's how they infiltrate the church. That's how they come in. But so far, he's telling us that Satan is a lion. He doesn't say he's really physically a lion, but he acts like a lion. Like a lion. What do we know about a lion? Dangerous animal. Voracious animal, swift animal, speedy animal, cunning animal. But you see, the lion is not in a cage, as we said. The serpent of the Garden of Eden is now presented to us in this world as the lion. Not anymore romping on his tummy. But a lion, a dangerous animal. So those three things, I think, suffice for us in terms of his person. But look now, the second heading I have in mind is his working method. As I said, his modus operandi, how he functions, how he does things in his life. And there are two things given to us by Peter there in verse 8 again. Peter presents him. The qualification, he's a roaring lion. And we are told in the jungle or in the savannah that a lion, when a lion roars, he can be heard 5 miles around. But don't be deceived again. This lion, when he roars, he is heard all over the world. All over the world. He fills up the world. He's everywhere, but not omnipresent. He cannot be omnipresent because he walketh around. But as I said, he has his battalions, he has his legions, he has his fallen angels, he has his demons, millions and millions of them. He is a roaring lion. Why does he roar? He has lost a baby. Do you know who he has lost? He has lost you and me. So just imagine, this is a mother lion who just lost one of her babies. So he's roaring, crying out, I have lost a baby to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm roaring to have him back. But he's roaring to threaten you, to impress you. I believe he's also roaring in order to intimidate you. That's why he's roaring. But he's roaring also of pride. That's why everyone who is not under the jurisdiction of the Lord Jesus Christ is a proud person, because he is under the wings of the proudest angelic being, under the proudest person who have ever existed in this world. My dear friends, he is a roaring lion. And the second thing Peter tells us about his working method, it's here again in verse 8. That's why I said, oh, Peter, in few words, he tells us so much to describe this arch enemy, this pet hate we have, who is after us day after day. And the second thing he tells us about his working method, that this lion is walking around, He's walking around with a message. Oh, my dear friends, he's a master in camouflage. He's restlessly seeking, restlessly, day and night, he's seeking. Never at peace with himself, he's seeking. And he's also lazing around. Guess what he's doing? He's lazing around on the prowl, seeking, looking for the likely victim. But here is good news. Before I continue, my dear friends, you know, in spite of all what we described now, Satan is not able to destroy your salvation. But guess what? He's able to make your life miserable. He's able to ensnare you. He's able to deceive you if you are not vigilant. He's able to influence your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's able to tame your service for the Lord. He's able to make your mind to be so shallow and in pieces if you are not watchful. So he walketh around day after day. Oh, he has a good smelling sense. We know that from lions or from cats and so on. Good smelling sense. And he's never far. He's never far. He cannot read your mind, but he reads your routine. He can see what you like. He can see your whereabouts. So that's why he's older than us, he's wiser than us, and many times he's able to catch us. He's walking around. His agents are walking back and forth, looking for that sheep, that weak sheep who has left the flock or the herd. That's his job. But look now, our third heading. I want really swiftly to go through these things before we come to more practical aspects. Oh, my dear friends, the third thing is his aim. Look at his aim. And Peter says, your adversary, the devil, this roaring lion that walketh around with his message throughout the world, he has one aim, to devour you. And actually the Greek word there is to drink you down, to gulp you down, to swallow you up. It is the same word used for Jonah when that big fish gulped down Jonah into its tummy. That's the same word. This is exactly what Satan is looking for to do in your life and in my life day after day. My dear friends, do you know this is what he tried to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't have the time to even give you sequences of how he tried from the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, even before his birth, when the Matthew chapter 2, Herod killing and making the assassination of thousands and thousands of children, the Lord Jesus Christ fleeing into Egypt. Throughout his ministry, you can see with the Pharisees, with Caiaphas, with Anna the high priest, until when Christ was crucified on the cross of Calvary, then the tomb swallowed the Lord Jesus Christ. Just imagine at that time how Satan was so rejoicing. He was so happy that finally he devoured the Lord Jesus Christ. But praise be to God, on the third day we read in the word of God that Christ was risen from the dead. Oh, my dear friends, he tries to devour the church. That's why we read Revelation chapter 12 again. It's about the church there. This is what he does, and this is what he wants to do in his daily life. And he's seeking to harm you physically, as he did with Job, as he did with Paul. He's trying to deceive you mentally. He's attacking your mind. He can affect your mind if you are not careful. He attacks our faith. He attacks our assurance. This is what he does. Oh, Peter himself, you remember, Pastor spoke about it last Sunday, Matthew chapter 16. Peter himself had to be rebuked because his thoughts were Satan's thoughts. That's why, if I may make an application here, every religion, every person that says that there is a way to be saved except by the cross of Calvary, by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, it is a satanic religion and it is a satanic spirit. Because there is no way for our salvation without the cross of Calvary. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter. He must go to the cross of Calvary. Oh, my dear friends, he filled Ananias' heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. He wants us to go back to what we have vomited in the world. It went out already. We are not dogs. We are not like the swine going back to what we have left behind. But this is what Satan is trying to make you to do day after day. He wants you to lack your assurance and to go back to the world. This is what he does. He knows where to lurk. He wants to tear you apart. He wants to divide your family. Every attempt to divide the families from Satan. That's why couples, families, please wake up, be vigilant. From the beginning, that was Satan's attack in the Garden of Eden. He hates family. When he sees the harmony, when he sees the love between husbands and wives, he wants to attack that. And he wants to divide the family. He wants to ruin your testimony. He's happy when he sees a Christian has fallen away. He tempts us with a meal. You know, this is what he did to Esau. With a meal, physical things. He tempts us to go back to the world like Demas. He tempts us with hypocrisy. This is what he did with Judas. He tempts us with money, trying to get heavenly and godly and spiritual things with money, by money, as in Acts chapter 8 with Simon there. He wanted to gain spiritual talents and gift with money. May you burn with your money, John said to him, John and Peter said to him. Oh, my dear friends, he tempts us with the world. He tempts us with covetousness. This is his daily practice. Oh, don't get close to him. Don't come clout around his ear. Don't pet him. Don't give him a caress. He will gulp you down immediately. Run away from him. Are you a soldier that is missing? Have you close in touch with the rank? Oh, now I come to my fourth heading as I close. How can we do, what can we do before such an infernal enemy with all his machinations, with all his stratagems and wiles, schemes? How can we who are just sheep, so small and so weak and so frail, how can we stand before such a powerful enemy? What resources do we have? What weapons do we have? What is the Christian soldier mindset? Peter gives us five very simple things. My brothers and sisters, no matter what trial you are going through tonight, no matter what temptation you are going through, no matter what suffering you are going through tonight, these five things are for us as believers. And the first thing, look at it, it's all in verse 8 and 9. It's before you. The first thing Peter says, be sober. My brothers and sisters, in my small experience as a Christian and as a preacher, I come to love this word. I believe now this is my favorite word in the Bible, to be sober. It speaks volumes. To be sober, to be of sound mind, to be of clear mind. That's what Peter is telling us here. Christ is the Lord. He is the Lord God. His salvation is true. That's your foundation. So be calm, be tempered, and be serious. That's the meaning of the word sober. An inebriated Christian, an intoxicated Christian is not able to contend. He's not able to think. He's not able to watch. He's not able to fight. He will be defeated easily. So be sober. Be sober about the world. Be sober about the world's view. Be sober about the world idols. You know, the world makes so many idols. Be sober about that. Be sober about the world philosophy. Be sober about the world ethics. Be sober about the world ethos of life. But the second thing Peter tells us, be watchful. Again, another word so often reminded by the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you watchful? So often the Lord Jesus Christ combined that word with the word pray. Be on the watch, look out, AM, PM, all the time. Things seems to be quiet, or be vigilant. Listen to the roaring lion. He's there, never far. And that's why beware of idle moments. When you have nothing to do, this is the time when you and me are the most vulnerable. But on the other hand, my dear brothers and sisters, beware of times of success, spiritual success. This is the time also when you need to be vigilant. Satan is a job giver, provider for a lazy Christian. He will provide you with many things, but to your destruction, to destroy you. Protect your life, protect your home. Don't lose it. Don't be paranoid. People nowadays, oh, you heard that conspiration theory there? You heard what has exploded there? The new morality, the new worldview, have you heard? No, we should be worried more about what God is doing in this world than worried about what the prime minister has said or this head of state has said. We should be more worried about obedience, about serving the Lord, about sacrifice, about commitment. These are the things have I done my devotions today? Have I prayed? Have I witnessed to anyone this week? These are the things we should be really worried about. Nothing is new under heaven. Mind your steps. Read the times. Be like the sons of Issachar. You know, in the Old Testament, the sons of Issachar were wise because they were able to read the times, but redeem the time also. Very important. Read the times and redeem the time. Mind your step. Watch out. The world is riddled with mines and there are snipers everywhere. Everywhere. So the Christian should be really be watchful. That's the second thing. Look at the third one. My time is over. But look at the third one. Resist, Peter says. Resist. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom to devour. In verse 9, whom? Resist. And that Greek word is also powerful. It means stand against. Stand against. Oppose. That's the meaning. My dear friends, Satan does not resist resistance. That's why a triumphant life is a resisting life. The Lord gave us the example. All throughout his ministry, he was resisting the devil. He's hungry, 40 days without eating, without drinking, changed the stones into bread. He was able to do it. But no, he was resisting the devil. How did he resist the devil? It is written. It is written by the word of God. Oh, my dear friends, do not capitulate like a coward or retreat in fear. Resist him with fierce will. No deliberation with the devil. No compromise with the devil. No dialogue with the devil. We do not speak to him. We have not been given that warrant. We speak only to the Lord. Put on your whole armor. Use the means of grace. Remember the Lord's power. Remember his presence. Remember his providence. Remember his promises, my dear friends. I wish I could list you even the means of grace. You can use your devotions, your prayers, the study of the Word of God, fellowship with believers, witnessing to non-believers, seeking, having that passion for souls. All these things will grant you to be able to resist the devil. And James 4 says, resist the devil and he shall flee from you. We do the resisting. God will not do it for us. But remember, when you resist, when you strive, when you conquer, when you overcome, you never do it by yourself. Remember when you were not a Christian, what did you do? You resisted the Lord. But now you reverse that resistance. We resist Satan and sin. That's what we do now as believers. And we resist him not by shouting at him or not by using magic in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is foolishness. The let God let go philosophy is not a deeper life. Is not a higher life. Actually, it is a lower life. Because it is a life based on emotions and feelings. Let God let go. Never. We resist and God will help. He comes with us. We cooperate with the gracious Holy Spirit. Idle hands and idle minds create 1,000 mischiefs. Never stand and sit doing nothing for the Lord. My dear friends, you know the proverb. In Proverbs it is said that the lazy said there is a lion outside. A believer should never, oh, they will not listen. Nobody will be saved. Everyone in the UK now is an atheist. They will not listen to the word of, that is to be defeatist. We have God with us. A believer who is involved in the service of the Lord will not become the next meal of Satan. That's why, close all the gates. You know the gates of your bodies? Oh, your eyes, your ears for filthy things, your heart, your mind, your thoughts. Close all those things. Do not let Satan have any access to them. So the first thing you do, you have to be sober. The second, be watchful. The third, resist. The fourth one, Peter says in verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. The Greek word steadfast there, we have it in English, is the word steroid or stereo, balanced. It means be strong, be solid, be hard like a rock in front of the enemy of your soul. And God will help you in that. Study the doctrines. Put on the shield of faith, objective faith and subjective faith, and pray for wisdom. Learn of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take him at his word. Take the sword of the Spirit, the word of truth. My dear friends, the Christian life is a battle between two lions. Do you know that? Against the roaring lion, we have the lion of the tribe of Judah, who went on conquering and to conquer. Against the roaring lion, we have Christ, and he is more than conqueror. We read in Revelation chapter 12 that Christ, with his blood, we are more than conquerors, and we have overcome the devil with the word of our testimony. That's what we read in the word. So we are not left by ourselves. We have the Lord of hosts. You know, when you read in the Bible that God is the Lord of hosts, it means that he's the God of all armies. All armies, spiritual armies, belong to our God. Satan is powerful, but our God is almighty. He is more than powerful. And I close with this. In verse 9 there, it says something important. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Knowing that your case, whoever you are, whatever temptation or trial or suffering you are going through, it is common to all men. You are not unique. Your case is not unique. Oh, my brothers and sisters, all around the world, there are Christians who are going through these tribulations. There are Christians who are going through these temptations. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Nothing is really supernatural happening to us, so we can trust the Lord. We have gone back to the shepherd of our souls, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will keep us unto the end, we read in the word of God. My brothers and sisters, Romans chapter 16 says that the Lord of peace shall soon bruise and crush Satan under your feet shortly. Very soon, Satan's doom soon will happen when the Lord Jesus Christ will come back and we shall be with him. So be sober, be watchful. Resist the devil, steadfast in the faith, but remember that your case is not unique. God is with you, and you will be more than overcomers because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close our time together by singing hymn number 480. Hymn number 480.